Hello, and welcome to the Political Feels podcast show. As always, I am your host, Evan Davis, and today's episode is about the rising crime rate in the city of Indianapolis. I was lucky enough to have a phone call conversation with Council Minority Whip Paul Anne, and today, for the first time ever, there will be a guest on the Political Feels podcast show. And now, for the phone call conversation I had with Councilor Paul Anne, where he gives his thoughts and opinion on what needs to be done in order to solve the city's rising crime rate. All right. Well, folks, I have a treat for you today. We are joined by City Council Minority Whip Paul Anne. So, Councilor Anne, obviously, as many people throughout Marion County and in Indianapolis have noticed, there is a huge problem with crime in the city and in the county. The month of July was the deadliest in the city, with at least 131 people shot, 27 stabbed, and 33 killed. And the people of Marion County and Indianapolis haven't really gotten any answers from Mayor Joe Hogsett, from the Marion County Prosecutor's Office, and it really seems like they're just trying to give a runaround of this major issue that our city is facing. And one of my questions to you is, what do you believe we can do, and what do you believe that needs to be done in order to help solve this major issue in the city and in the county?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank you, Evan, for having me on and really hitting at one of the biggest issues, the heart of the issue in the city of Indianapolis, which is crime. There's no secret, as you read off those really staggering statistics just for a month, that crime in the city of Indianapolis is the likes of which we've never seen before in the history of our city. Our city just celebrated its bicentennial anniversary. And so what can we do, in my opinion, as the Indianapolis City Councilor representing the South Side, to address crime and violence? So I'll just give you some things that I have called on that haven't seemed to gain any traction with the majority party here in the city. But I believe that we need to reinstate the Director of Public Safety. Mayor Hogsett decided when he first went to office in his first term to get rid of the position of the Office of Public Safety and the Director of Public Safety. So I believe by putting a public safety director back in the city of Indianapolis, having a top-notch, highly professional, qualified individual to lead the public safety department, who is really out in the community 24 hours, 7 days a week, listening to the community and neighborhood concerns, seeing what really the officers and those who are battling the public safety crisis are going through, is extremely valuable and important. So, you know, our city has had a history of really top-notch public safety directors going back to the 1980s with Richard Blankenbaker, Joe Shelton, Mike Beaver, Dr. Wants, Troy Riggs, before he became chief of police. And so I think that that's one thing we can do, is put a public safety director back in the office. Also believe that the city needs to invest in some technologies to better equip the officers out on the streets. So I've called for the purchasing of gunshot detection systems. We've seen gunshot detection systems deployed in other major cities around the country. We've also seen them in smaller towns around the country, and they've been very successful. So I believe we have to invest in a gunshot detection system, mobile and static license plate readers, as well as better and more enhanced cameras in the downtown area to be able to really address a lot of the violence that's taking place in downtown. In addition to the public safety director position and those technologies, we called, the Republican caucus called in January of 2020, so about a year and a half ago. It was the very first proposal that we did in the new council term to create a commission on violent crime, to bring experts from a variety of different fields. That includes mental health experts, that includes public safety, law enforcement experts, those who have gone through the system, a wide range of folks to sit on a commission to study the city's criminal justice outcomes, as well as the strategies. So we need to know what the strategies are that the city has deployed which ones aren't working, what are the outcomes, and to go from there. Unfortunately, that was shot down along party line votes. So I believe a commission would also be an important step in the right direction to determine what we can do today as a city to move forward. Also think that the prosecutor and the courts have to address the fact that we have violent offenders who are committing crimes, who are going through the courts very quickly, being put on low cash bonds, and then being recycled back out into the streets, and they're repeat offenders. And so we continue to see folks who have committed crimes right back out on the street virtually the next day, and they are reoffending, in many cases causing the tremendous tragedy. So I think those four or five kind of key things, creating a commission, putting a public safety director back in the city, investing in those three different technologies, and stopping this revolving door is a good first step in the right direction here in the city.
Yes, I read up on many of those. And to hit on one of the last things you said there, Marion County in 2020 had over 4,000 people released with GPS monitoring.
Yep.
That is
right.
More than any other county in the United States. And obviously, Indianapolis and Marion County is not one of the largest counties in the United States.
Sure. Well, I think that hits it down the head. And we had some folks from the Community Corrections Agency come before us, and always like to brag that Indianapolis is number one in a lot of different categories, convention business, amateur sports events, and things like that. We should not be proud that we have in the United States, Indianapolis is the number one city, the number one county for folks on GPS monitoring systems. And that's part of this idea that the courts and the prosecutor have to take seriously these violent offenders and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law, as opposed to letting them right back out on the street.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more, Counselor. And as well, I believe that, honestly, we have just seen a complete lack of leadership, really, from Mayor Hogsett and 20 other counselors I can think of in the City County Council that just seem to be almost ignoring these statistics like they aren't there. And we really haven't heard any plans that are really going to be implemented, anything revolving any funding for law enforcement for new technology, or really any support for these communities that are really hard hit by these violent crime statistics.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Evan, we the council appropriated about $3.3 million last month for various expenses for the police, for the Information Services Agency, as well as for the Office of Public Health and Safety. And I voted in support of that, but my problem has been and continues to be, the city continues to throw the same stuff at the wall, and it's not sticking. We're not getting creative. We're not looking for new ideas, for new solutions. And as a result, we continue to see the homicide rate. We continue to see the non-fatal shooting numbers dramatically increase. And I believe that if we would have invested in a gunshot detection system, if we would have invested in mobile and static license plate readers, if we would have had enhancements to the camera capability in the downtown area, that we would have seen a real tremendous downtick in some of the issues we're seeing, as well as, again, if we're arresting folks, the police can only arrest folks, right? But when these folks are going then to the court, then to the prosecutor's desk, if they're not being held accountable, the police can only do so much. And I think that's where you see the tremendous shortfall in morale with a high percentage of IMPD officers.
Yes, I completely agree. And to hit on that as well, as you said before, the bond that some of these violent, even repeat offenders are being released on Some of them are averaging around getting between $2,000 and $5,000 bonds for violent offense such as domestic battery with a deadly weapon or assault with a deadly weapon. And I think it's really a lack of leadership, as you mentioned, from the prosecutor's office. And I think it's really, unfortunately, the justice system kind of failing the community to allow these violent offenders and these violent repeat offenders back on the streets and giving them a bond that, frankly, would be easy for almost anybody to pay.
Well, and the fact is, when most people commit some of these violent offenses, you named a couple of them, and I appreciate that, they're getting put out on $500 low cash bonds. And so I've always said that we want to be compassionate about the situation. There are often underlying reasons why folks are committing crime. I know that, you know that. But I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And so while I think we have to get tough on the criminals, make it very clear that law and order is the only way that the city of Indianapolis is going to lead from. We're not going to allow folks to overtake our city, as we saw in the riots in May of last year. But we're going to get serious. At the same time, while we're getting serious, I believe we can look at new ways to fund things like mental health initiatives, things like the Reuben Engagement Center, and other key community initiatives that can help address some of those underlying issues. Crime is a result in many cases of poverty, a case of lack of educational opportunity. So a lot of these different things. But we can't give people a pass when they commit crime. We have to hold those folks accountable, but also at the same time look to see how city government can intervene and give people resources if they choose to take them before those crimes are committed. So I think it's a two-way thing. Unfortunately, we don't have anybody in the city who seems to want to take either of them seriously.
Yes, I would agree with you there. And obviously, those programs that you mentioned are very important, and they do help these affected communities, and they help prevent violent crime by having that outreach system that allows for people, if they need that help, in order to get it. I also wanted to hit on, I know several business owners in Marion County and in Indianapolis, and some of them have, you know, packed up their business and taken it to the surrounding counties. And a lot of them have said the reason is they don't feel like they can have their employees come to work safe, whether it's, you know, walking down the street or driving to work or even being in the business itself, that they don't feel like their business is being protected by the city and that their employees are. And I think it's creating a negative economic effect as well for the city and the county because of the lack of these resources, that it's going to start hurting the county and city more if we don't start taking those steps.
I don't think there's any question about that, Evan. And, you know, I had the opportunity to sit down with some of our business owners, particularly in the downtown area, for a roundtable discussion to hear some of their cares and concerns and the issues that they face as business owners, again, particularly in the downtown area. And I remember one lady stood up and was talking about her experience downtown. And she said, you know, I've been downtown for 40 years nearly, my insurance company, and we have loved being downtown. We remember when downtown was a ghost town, and we were there through it all when the Colts came to town and the skyscrapers went up, and downtown really turned into something very special, the downtown that you and I know. And she said, but after 40 years, I've had to make the very difficult decision to move up to Hamilton County. And it almost brought her to tears. And that one instance, I think, is reflective of a lot of instances for our business owners that are saying, we love downtown. We love the city of Indianapolis. We love being in the middle of all of the hustle and bustle, but our employees don't feel safe to go to work. We had, you know, some of our business owners tell us that their employees had been mugged. Their employees had folks that were mentally disturbed or trying to rob them on their way into work. Businesses were getting broken into. And so I think you're absolutely right. If we don't get a handle on this, and we haven't seemed to have anywhere close to a handle on the situation, we're going to continue to see these businesses, many of which have been in the downtown area for decades, go to Hamilton County, go to Johnson County, go to Hendricks County, go over into the donut counties, and leave our taxpayers in our city at a real economic loss. And that's a real problem.
Yes, it certainly is. And I think you hit that point home very well, Counselor, because, and I'm sorry to hear about that woman after being in Marion County in Indianapolis for 40 years, having to take her business to Hamilton County. But it does seem to be that that is a trend that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Is the city council currently taking or looking into any steps that you're aware of for any of these issues, whether it be funding for this technology in order to help prevent this rising crime rate, or different social programs to reach out to individuals who are affected in the communities that are affected?
Sure. Well, you know, when I talked about earlier this $3.3 million fiscal that we passed for, a portion of it went to IMPD, portion of it went to the Office of Public Health and Safety, and a portion of it went to the Information Services Agency. I added an amendment that night to call on that money that was going to the IMPD to specifically be focused on the gunshot detection system, as well as the mobile and static license plate readers and these enhanced cameras. Of course, that failed on party line. But I will tell you this, the mayor is unveiling his 2022 budget. I am getting a briefing on that tomorrow. So I hope to be able to see some positive funding initiatives in that budget. But I'll tell you right now, I don't see and have not seen anything that will provide immediate relief for our citizens, and that's what I'm focused on. While long-term is great, and while we need to look at the long-term, we have to provide some short-term immediate relief to the citizens, and I have not seen anything that will do that.
Yes. Well, hopefully there will be something in that budget from Mayor Hogsett that will help rectify some of the major issues the county and city are facing. I want to thank you for coming on, Counselor Ane. You are the first special guest to actually ever come on my show, the Political Fields podcast show, and it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I would like to thank you and also Counselor Mowry for your tremendous leadership, despite not much backing from the other side, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I appreciate coming on, Evan. I appreciate your attention to really the most important issue I would say the city has faced in some years. And I just encourage the folks who are listening to take note of what's going on and to get active. When you see things that you don't particularly like, when you think that there are ideas that aren't being looked at, come down to a city council meeting, come down to a committee hearing, and be part of that local government process. I think it's so important. If there was any time in the city's history for our residents to get active and involved, I think today's the day. Now's the time. And so I hope that we'll see some new faces downtown in our meetings and have some really positive results as we look to the future.
Well, thank you, Counselor Ane. It was great to have you on. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Evan, that's wonderful. I appreciate it, and I'm sure I'll be talking to you sometime soon.
All right. It's great to hear from you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.